Have you ever found yourself just wrestling with persistent health issues? Things like anxiety that just won't quit.
Or maybe sudden panic attacks?
Yeah, exactly. Or even chronic pain that seems to defy every typical solution you've tried, yawing down all the usual paths.
Right.
But these symptoms just sort of linger. What if these seemingly unrelated struggles are actually, well, deeply connected by something fundamental, something most people wouldn't even consider?
That's a fascinating question.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into an astonishing concept, the airway posture autonomic axis.
Quite a mouthful, but important.
It is. Our mission is really to uncover how something as seemingly simple as, say, how you breathe, or even the subtle space your tongue has in your mouth, how that can cascade into these really wide-ranging impacts on your entire body and, crucially, your nervous system. We've pulled together a fascinating stack of sources, from cutting-edge research to clinical insights, to really illuminate this often overlooked connection.
And it's truly an eye-opening area. Look, we're seeing more and more clinicians across, various fields, think orthodontics, osteopathy.
Chiropractic tear.
Right. And even general medicine, they're encountering patients whose symptoms of autonomic nervous system, the ANS, dysregulation, they just aren't responding well to conventional treatments. But as you said, a growing body of research, which is exactly what we're drawing from today, is pointing towards a common anatomical and functional origin for many of these issues.
Kind of a hidden link.
Precisely, creating this sort of hidden symphony that really impacts your overall health.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We're talking about an interconnected cascade, like a chain reaction, maybe.
That's a good way to put it.
So where does it all begin, according to our sources? What's the first domino to fall?
It really seems to start with the foundational anatomical elements. Your maxilla.
Okay, the upper jaw.
That's it, your upper jaw and your mandible, the lower jaw. Now, the maxilla specifically, it forms the roof of your mouth, but also the floor of your nasal cavity. So imagine a narrow maxillary arch that means less side-to-side space for your tongue.
Right.
When your tongue doesn't have enough room to rest naturally up and forward, it's often forced backward.
Get to the throat.
Yeah, into what's called the oropharyngeal airway, basically the back of your throat where air needs to pass. And here's the crucial bit. This significantly reduces the airway caliber,
The width.
the width, the openness of that passage, and it drastically increases airflow resistance. It literally makes it harder to breathe through your nose.
Wow.
And, if you can picture this, advanced imaging like CBCT
That's
scans,
3D x-rays.
exactly, highly detailed ones, they reveal that these constricted maxillae correlate directly with reduced volumes in your nasal cavity and that nasopharyngeal area, the space right behind your nose.
Okay.
This whole setup just makes people much more prone to mouth breathing. And here's where it gets really interesting, like a feedback loop. Mouth breathing isn't just a symptom, it can actually perpetuate that maxillary constriction. Yeah, creating this self-reinforcing, kind of frustratingly vicious cycle.
Okay, so that's the upper jaw. What about the lower jaw?
Right, so to compound this, a mandible that's retruded or set back.
Like an overbite situation, maybe?
Sometimes, yeah, it's common in certain malocclusions or bite issues. This further displaces the base of the tongue backward, posteriorly intensifying that airway narrowing.
So it gets even tighter back there.
Exactly. This all adds up to, well, greater obstruction, increased effort just to breathe, and often contributes significantly to things like sleep-disordered breathing. And even something subtle like ankyloglossia.
Tongue tie.
Yeah, commonly known as tongue tie. Where the tongue's mobility is restricted, it just prevents the tongue from resting in that crucial forward and upward posture that helps keep your airway open.
So it all pushes towards mouth breathing again.
It exacerbates the mouth breathing and that maxillary constriction. It's all interconnected.
Wow, okay. So a seemingly small anatomical issue, maybe
Honey.
jaw development, maybe tongue position, that can directly impact the very air we breathe. That's pretty incredible.
It is.
So what does this constant struggle, this extra effort to get air, mean for the body?
Yeah.
How does it try to cope?
Exactly. See, your upper airway is a naturally collapsible structure, right? Its openness depends on a very delicate balance.
Okay.
So when that airway is compromised, the body has this, well, brilliant yet ultimately quite costly compensatory mechanism.
Thank you.
It adopts a forward head posture, or FHP.
Ah, okay. I see people like that, head jutting forward.
Right. And what happens with FHP is that it increases what we call the craniocervical angle, basically the angle of your head on your neck.
Tilting the head back slightly.
Kind of, yeah. It mechanically enlarges the pharyngeal airway, opening it up. Think of it like this. It can expand that airway by approximately 3 to 5 millimeters for every 10 degrees of head extension.
That much.
Yeah. It's actually analogous to the head tilt chin lift maneuver they use in CPR to open an airway.
That's such a powerful analogy. So the body is literally trying to perform its own subtle CPR just to breathe properly.
In a way, yes. Your body is essentially performing its own sort of constant version of that maneuver to get more air.
But you mentioned a cost, a downside. There's always a trade-off, isn't there? What is it?
There usually is. And this is where the deeper implications for your autonomic health really come into play.
Okay.
When you maintain a chronic forward head posture, it imposes these abnormal mechanical loads on your upper cervical vertebrae.
Vena deck bones.
The top ones, yeah. Specifically C1 through C3. And also on your upper thoracic spine, your upper back. This leads to constant structural strain.
I can't imagine.
Now, what's fascinating and kind of concerning here is that the superior cervical ganglion.
Okay, what's that?
It's the largest sympathetic ganglion. Think of it like a key control panel for your fight or flight responses located right there in the neck.
And it's near those strained vertebrae.
Very close. It's located very near the C2, C3 vertebrae. This makes it really vulnerable to mechanical irritation from that constant vertebral strain. And studies, well, the research we looked at suggests that mechanical stress on these vertebrae and also on the thoracic sympathetic chain lower down can directly increase your sympathetic output.
Meaning it cranks up the fight or flight system.
Exactly. It dials up your body's on alert state.
Okay, so connect the dots for me. What symptoms might arise from that?
Well, when we connect this directly back to symptoms, this chronic activation can manifest as things like an elevated heart rate, maybe hypertension.
High blood pressure.
Right. The anxiety and panic attacks you mentioned right at the start of our deep dive.
Uh-huh.
And significantly disrupted sleep. It all starts to paint a picture.
It really does. Now, you mentioned temporomandibular joint disorders, TMD, earlier. How do problems with the actual jaw joint fit into this whole complex picture? Airway, posture, nerves. It seems like it's all intricately linked.
It's a huge, absolutely crucial piece of this puzzle. Many patients who have airway compromise and that forward head posture, they also suffer from TMD.
Right.
And these are dysfunctions involving the TMJ itself, your jaw joint, along with the chewing muscles, the masticatory muscles, and other associated structures.
But it's not just jaw pain, right?
No, not at all. I mean, that's often present. But the TMJ has incredibly complex innervation, its nerve supply, and very strong biomechanical connections to the cervical spine, the neck.
Okay.
This means it can profoundly influence both your autonomic function, that nervous system balance, and your posture.
So more feedback loops.
Exactly. There's some really compelling evidence here. One landmark study, it was published in Clinical Oral Investigations, looked at individuals with malocclusion.
The misaligned vit again.
Yes. They found these individuals had significantly lower heart rate variability, HRV.
Which is good, right? Higher HRV is better.
Generally, yes. Higher HRV indicates better adaptability, more parasympathetic rest and digest tone. Mm. So lower HRV is a clear indicator of increased sympathetic activity, that fight or flight state being dominant.
Got it.
They also had higher resting heart rates compared to control groups. But here's what was remarkable. Orthodontic treatment in these patients.
Like braces or aligners.
Yes. Things aimed at correcting the bite. It actually improved their HRV and reduced that sympathetic overactivity.
Wow. So fixing the bite helped their whole nervous system.
It showed systemic benefits far beyond just, you know, straightening teeth. And other research reinforces this. It finds that TMD patients often exhibit higher heart rates, reduced HRV, and also decreased baroreflex sensitivity.
Which is how the body regulates blood pressure.
Precisely. How well it buffers changes. So lower sensitivity reflects impaired autonomic regulation. It all points to the jaw joint playing a big role in this autonomic balance.
So the jaw joint isn't just a local issue, like you said. It's potentially an amplifier, almost like a feedback loop feeding into this sympathetic overdrive.
That's a very good way to think about it, an amplifier.
Okay, but how does that work? Like, on a mechanistic level, how does a clicky jaw make my nerves more frayed, essentially?
Well, part of it is the nerves. The TMJ is very richly innervated by a nerve called the auriculotemporal nerve.
Okay.
And this nerve carries both sensory fibers for feeling and autonomic fibers. These autonomic fibers are capable of modulating important brainstem autonomic centers.
The main control panels.
Right, the central controls for your body's automatic functions. So chronic TMJ, pain itself, acts as a significant stressor.
Makes sense. Pain is stressful.
Exactly. It activates those stress pathways, further increasing the sympathetic tone we've been talking about.
Okay, that's the nerve side.
Then there's the mechanical side. Beyond just the nerve connection, altered jaw mechanics, how your jaw moves and rests, also directly affect your neck muscle tone and your posture.
Ah, back to the posture link.
Back to the posture, which in turn exacerbates the vertebral strain we identified earlier near those sympathetic ganglia.
Leading to even more sympathetic activation.
Precisely. It really highlights how tightly interwoven all these systems are. The airway, the posture, the jaw, the nervous system.
Okay. This sounds incredibly complex, but also, I mean, incredibly interconnected. Like a, I don't know, a beautifully intricate clock where if one gear is off.
The whole thing can run differently. Yeah.
So what does this all mean for finding solutions then? If it's all connected, how can we actually address these root anatomical and functional causes? It sounds daunting.
It can seem that way, but this is precisely where an interdisciplinary approach becomes not just, you know, beneficial, but absolutely essential.
Okay.
Our sources highlight several key interventions. One significant area is, perhaps unsurprisingly, orthodontic interventions.
Right, fixing the bite and jaw structure.
Exactly. Take gradual palatal expansion, for instance.
Oh.
This is a technique that applies really gentle, continuous forces over time to widen the maxilla, the upper jaw.
Does it work?
The results are quite impressive, actually. Uh-huh. CBCT studies show things like 15 to 25% increases in nasal cavity and nasopharyngeal airway volumes after expansion.
So literally more space for air.
Literally more space. Yeah. And what this does is it creates more tongue space.
Allowing the tongue to move forward.
Precisely. It allows the tongue to reposition itself more forward and upward, which then dramatically improves nasal breathing. And here's a critical insight we found in the sources.
Yeah.
These anatomical changes also lead to significant postural improvements. Things like a normalization of craniovertebral angles, that head-on neck alignment.
Getting rid of the forward head posture.
Reducing it, yes. And crucially, these postural changes directly correlate with improved HRV, better autonomic balance, and reduced sympathetic activity.
That's huge. So it's not just cosmetic.
Far from it. Another powerful orthodontic intervention is mandibular advancement.
Moving the lower jaw forward.
Correct. This uses devices, or maybe custom aligners, to gently reposition the mandible forward. This can increase the dimensions of your oropharyngeal airway, the space behind the tongue, by, you know, over a millimeter, sometimes even two.
Which makes a difference in that tight space.
It can make a significant difference. And the beauty of these interventions, both expansion and advancement, is that they fundamentally reduce the mechanical strain on those sensitive cervical vertebrae.
And the sympathetic ganglia nearby.
Exactly. Contributing directly to autonomic normalization. But, and this is important.
Yes.
It's often vital to include adjunctive myofunctional therapy.
Okay. What's that involve? Exercises.
Specific exercises, yes. They train the tongue and facial muscles to adopt correct posture, tongue up, lips sealed, and really encourage nasal breathing.
So reinforcing the changes.
Absolutely. They're crucial to reinforce the orthodontic gains, reduce the chance of relapse later on, and further improve overall airway volume. It's really about retraining the system.
It sounds like a truly holistic approach to breathing and alignment.
That's the goal.
So it's not just about straightening teeth anymore, is it? It's fundamentally about reshaping the airway, and in doing so, profoundly influencing the nervous system.
You've got it. That's the paradigm shift.
How does this all come together in practice then? What does that kind of integrated care actually look like for a patient?
Well, it absolutely requires true interdisciplinary collaboration.
Yeah.
You need different healthcare providers talking to each other.
Like who? Orthodontists? And
orthodontists, definitely. Yeah. But also potentially osteopaths, chiropractors, physical therapists, myofunctional therapists, maybe even sleep physicians or ENTs.
Wow. Okay. Team effort.
Big time. Hmm. For instance, diagnostic integration is key. This means combining tools like the detailed CBCT imaging we talked about with heart rate variability monitoring, thorough postural assessments, and comprehensive TMJ evaluations. You need the whole picture.
Right. Understand all the interconnected parts.
Exactly. This holistic approach gives clinicians a complete picture of the patient's airway, their vertebral alignment, their jaw function, and their autonomic nervous system status.
Okay. So you diagnose holistically. What about treatment?
Then there's therapeutic synergy. osteopathic and chiropractic manipulative treatments, for example, that specifically target the cervical, thoracic, and even cranial structures. They actually complement the orthodontic airway interventions perfectly.
How so?
By directly addressing vertebral restrictions and TMJ dysfunction, you can help reduce that sympathetic irritation we discussed from the structural strain.
Calming the nerves from another angle.
Precisely. It supports overall autonomic balance. This comprehensive framework, it moves far beyond just, you know, traditional symptom management, like just giving a pill for anxiety or pain.
Right.
It aims for true etiological resolution, getting to the actual root cause. And the potential is there to significantly improve a patient's overall quality of life.
Okay. So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, our curious listener? What's the takeaway?
Well, I think the big takeaway is that
it means that seemingly disparate health issues, things like that persistent anxiety or maybe high blood pressure that just won't budge, or chronic neck pain, they could potentially trace back to something as fundamental, as seemingly simple, as the structure of your mouth and how you breathe.
Yeah, this deep dive really reveals a profound and, like we said, often overlooked interconnectedness within the human body.
Quite amazing.
Understanding this airway posture autonomic axis, it just offers a new and powerful lens through which to view chronic conditions. And it really highlights the incredible power of an integrated approach to care.
Thinking outside the usual boxes.
Absolutely. It's a compelling reminder that, you know, the body works as a whole system. And sometimes the root of discomfort, the mood of these chronic issues, is found in the most unexpected places.
So a final thought for you listening. Consider this. How might improving something as seemingly simple as your breathing pattern or maybe your jaw alignment, how might that impact the subtle yet incredibly powerful symphony of your own autonomic nervous system? What stands out to you most from this deep dive today?